Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And it's me, Bob Mitchell, in for Tommy Tucker this morning, quarter after seven. We're going to talk right now to Herb Tyler. And if you're a Tiger fan, you know who Herb Tyler is. Former LSU quarterback and now co-host of WWL's Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb, you have got to be just entirely pumped up over the possibility of playing for a national championship.
Well, Bob, first of all, good morning, and I hope you had a wonderful and great Christmas.
I did.
But yes, sir, man. I mean, look, it's been quite some time since my Tigers have been in the runnings to at the very least even be talked about for the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And going into this first playoff game here against Oklahoma, we're actually the front runner. We're the number one team in the country. So that makes me very, very proud. And just, you know, as everyone knows, I bleed purple and gold, and I do so for many various reasons, but one of the reasons is the fact that we have such a great fan base, and we love our Tigers, and it's going to show going throughout these playoffs.
There are a lot of people who are traveling. My granddaughter goes to LSU. She's a junior, and she and her dad are on the way right now. Yep. to mm-hmm. Atlanta, and I think you're going to have a lot of purple and gold down there. I've got just a couple of personal questions. Just, what does it feel like to run out of that tunnel and, what, almost 100,000 people cheering? What does it feel like to do that?
It's an exhilarating feeling. You know, it's something that I don't think I would ever get that same feeling back again in life, to be honest with you. You know, there's people from all walks of life who are cheering for you as a team, you as an individual, to be successful in a game that you love to play. And Tiger Stadium is arguably top one, two best places to play, mm-hmm. or, you know, college football, or even a door concert and whatever it is that you want to do there. And it's just the mystique of Death Valley, the you know, Baton Rouge, and what the fans have made that particular stadium. It's a great feeling, man. It's there's no feeling I can ever, I don't even know how to describe it. There's no words that would do it justice, but I will tell you this, there's no better high than that, I can promise you.
You know, and even if you are not a big football fan, you must experience Saturday night at Tiger Stadium, get there early in the afternoon, and go through that whole experience. It is just, it's wonderful, it's breathtaking.
Especially if it's like Alabama rose in, or another big team, or it's a great, you know, game that has great implications on the season or something. The fans get there literally the day before, and they're tailgating all night long and then all day long before. So, as I said before, they like to get lathered up before the game, but they have a great time. It's one of the best atmospheres in college football. The food is great. You know, it's not this really eagerly placed where people try to down the other team. They actually welcome the other team's fans there, and they actually show them a lot of appreciation, a lot of love.
You know, and
treat them well.
And I don't know of another stadium where they had problems, because a week before a game, there'd be 30,000 people in the parking lot already, right, taking up all the parking spaces, getting ready for the game.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just one of those things where it's just an amazing, magical place where people go to have a good time. And you know how we are in South Louisiana, Bob. We just, one thing we're going to do is have a great time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you change it, Cece. It's not good time. We have great times down here. Let me take a break and come back. And I want to ask you, when you get behind center, when Joe Burrow gets behind center, what is he looking at? We'll take a break, and then we'll come right back with Herb Tyler on the Big 870 WWL AMFM.com. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, I'm Bob Mitchell in for Tommy Tucker, who is on vacation, and we are speaking to Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback and co-host of WWL's Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb, you get behind the line of scrimmage. Defense is jumping all around, and you get behind that center. What are you looking at, and what will Joe Burrow be looking at, and what decisions does he make while you're overlooking the defense?
Well, I'm going to start off with a minor detail that's huge, though, in the grand scheme of it all. Last year, Joe would be under the center, which means that his hands would be underneath the center ready to retrieve the ball from the center. But this year, he's in a shotgun 95-99% of the time, which now his vision is much clearer, and he can see the whole field from 7 yards back or 6 yards, however deep he is at whatever point in time. So which makes it much easier for him to make decisions, for him to decipher what the defense is doing pre-snap read, if that makes sense. So what he's doing, basically, it depends on the calls. It depends on, you know, certain aspects of what progressions he's looking for in that particular route. But he's looking at linebacker play, right? Which side is the linebacker on? What I mean by that is the middle linebacker, is he on the right side or the left side of the center? And then he looks at the strong safety. Which side is he on? And where is he coming down in the box to help with the run game or different things like that? Are the DBs, are they playing man or are they off? So he's seeing a bunch of different things, and it's a lot clearer this year with the aspect of him being in the shotgun and not underneath the center. But and it all, Bob, it all happens in a matter of seconds. I'm going to tell you that right now. So when that ball is snapped, he has about a total of, at the maximum, 3 to 3.5 seconds to get the ball off. Most time he's throwing it off in two and a half seconds.
And you can see all of that?
You, that and more. So I left out a lot of things. I left out the defensive lineman doing stunts up front, which stunts is one guy goes one way, another guy crosses over him and comes the other way, right? And then there's, you know, the backside reads that you have as well. If the progression takes you from the X to the Y to the Z, or from the Z to the Y to the X, it all depends on what it is. And then the last thing is the God-given talent that God gives you something that's called intuition or a feeling, right? So if you don't even see a guy, but you just know, hey, I'm right at about 3 seconds, there's a guy about to hit me. And then Joe does that well, which is called escapability, and he understands the awareness in the pocket. So
another thing I've never been able to understand is the fact that how in the world can you see all the way downfield and a guy might be running neck and neck and you see him and you know where he's going to break? How can you see that far downfield?
Practice. So you've been doing it all your life and you understand physics, if you will, and you understand that certain people can do certain things. So, and you know, if a particular route, such as a go route, if you will, and sometimes they're being in a zone defense, and then they may be running free, or they may be man to man, and it depends. You'll be able to, just for that split second, you can look at it and see whether he's on the inside shoulder or he's on the outside shoulder, if he's trailing the receiver, or if the DB is on top of the receiver. And all of those different aspects actually lead you to throw the ball in a certain place, a certain position over the course of time. But
incredible.
I recommend one thing to you, Bob. If you ever go watch a college, high school, or even a Saints game or anything like that, watch it from the end zone.
Okay.
And if you can get your seat like somewhere around the middle of the field end zone, right by the goalpost, if you will, and then you watch it from that level as low as you can, then you'll be able to see what the quarterback actually sees. And then if you continue to watch it like that, then you'll be able to understand how they can do what they do.
Okay, I've got to go to news in just a couple of minutes, but before, all right, how do the LSU match up with Oklahoma?
This is a great matchup for us right here. You know, LSU's offense is unprecedented. This is one of the greatest turnarounds from year to year, from last year to this year. Just an absolute great offense. And then Oklahoma's defense has made significant strides from last year to this year. They were like number 100 in the college football rankings defensively last year. Now they're number 50. So they've dramatically made a better increase on their defense. But I think that we have a lot of more size than they do. I think their defense is going to be fast. I think we're going to play fast offensively and defensively. We have a familiar foe on the other side in Jalen Hurts at quarterback, who is a dynamic player in his own right. As you know, was a Heisman Trophy candidate as well. But I think LSU matches up really well against them. I think we're going to score as many points as we always score, and we're going to stop them from scoring. So in my opinion, I think we win somewhere around 45-24. I think that'll be the final score, something like that.
That would be all right with me.
That'd be all right with me too, Bob.
Well, Herb, it's been great. You've given us a lot of insight, because I know when I watch the game and I'm thinking, I say, if this guy throws the ball and there's no one even in the area, but all of a sudden there's someone scooping it up for him.
That's called timing right there, Bob. You've done it over and over.
And real quickly, how much study time? I'm assuming here that a quarterback has to do with the most study time.
Well, I think it's a combination of everybody, really. But it takes hours and hours and hours on end to understand it. But once you understand it, football is a mental game. It's 90% mental and 10% physical. You know, when you get to a certain point, everybody is physically gifted. But it's who takes the time out, like you said, to study, to understand and learn the game. The game only has 11 players on each side, and the field is only so big and so long. So once you understand that, and then that everybody is playing the same zones, the same different positions on the field, it's just how do they get to those positions, from what formation, you know, things like that. And then once you understand that, it becomes really simple.
Herb Tyler, thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bob, man. Enjoy your day, and go Tigers.
And go Tigers, that's it. All right. I know you're getting up and you're moving around, so let's do the 7:30 stretch. It makes you feel so much better. And now we're going to go to Dave Cohen and more WWL First News.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.